Welcome back. You're listening to A Certain Degree. My name is Nick. This episode comes from the June 17th, 2026 episode where my very special guest was Marco Torres. We talk about performing on stage. We talk about taking improv classes, singing, writing songs, teaching improv classes, and a whole lot more. You're going to enjoy it quite a bit. Marco is a super funny human. You can listen to the show live on WPRK Wednesdays from 8 to 10 a.m. or please subscribe and tell all your friends about this podcast. Enjoy the show. Hanson on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. I missed something they said there. My name is Nick. Good morning. You're listening to A Certain Degree. Thank you so much for tuning in on the best station in the world that ever was or ever will be, WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. And every week I'm here from 8 to 10. Most weeks I have very special, amazing, interesting, compelling, and good-looking guests. This week is no exception. Marco Torres is here. Good morning, Marco.
Hey, Nick, what's going on?
Are we doing a morning zoo kind of thing?
Listen, I have to give myself the morning zoo sound just to wake up. And thank goodness we played Hanson before this because I was a little sleepy. And also your voice is very soothing to talk to.
People fall asleep to me constantly. It probably should not be on the radio during drive time.
Well, you know what? I love it. I love that for us.
Okay.
Who doesn't need a chill vibe before work?
Yeah. So, I'll be the downer, you be the upper.
I'm here for it.
Okay, great. Marco is here from a number of different stages, from a number of different organizations, from a number of different initiatives, and we'll talk about all of them. But I also want to point out that you picked all the music today. So
I did. Yeah. You guys are going to get a firsthand listen to who I am as a person, and you will love it forever.
Yeah. And I will put up that playlist on Spotify so people can listen to it later on. You can go to a website called toacertaindegree.com and check that out. So that was If Only by Hanson. That is a late 90s, early 2000s. So this was probably before you were born.
Absolutely, it was. It was the same release date as Britney Spears' Oops, I Did It Again album, which poor Hanson for that. But you know what? They're still touring and they're making money, so it's all good.
Good. And they're still brothers?
They have not separated as brothers. They added another one, and it's really great.
Wait, there's a fourth?
There is. Well, there's always been. His name is Mackenzie? Yeah. And
Mackenzie, if you're listening, please text us.
Yeah. Call us. He's actually a solo artist, but he doesn't work with them. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Good for him.
Good for him. His so he can open for
them. He's the Janet of the Jackson 5.
That's
that
great.
Is Hanson.
That's great. The Hanson 4. The Hanson 4.
Yeah.
Good. To learn more about Marco, Marco performs art on Instagram. There's a couple of other things, but let's talk about where I know you from and how we came to know each other, and that was a beginning of our relationship would be the Melrose Center.
The Melrose Center, yep. That is my day job, my 9-to-5. Yep.
Going there, and back when I used to go there and record stuff, I used to come to classes there. I haven't been in a while, obviously, you know, a little bit of pandemic, and then most of the stuff I used to do there, I can do at home now.
Yeah.
Well, which is dumb because I still should get out and
go touch grass and then go touch a cement building, which is where the Melrose Center is.
A brutal cement building.
100% the most brutal building you'll ever run into in the Orlando area. So,
yeah, maybe the world, but that's debatable with, Eastern
with
Europe.
Agreed.
So we met there.
Yep.
And then I think at the time you were going through classes at SAC Comedy Lab.
I was. I started way back in ye olden times before COVID. And I was going through classes at SAC Comedy Lab and I was reigniting a love for theater. I was a theater kid much like for most of my life. And then I stopped for various reasons. And then a friend of mine took me to SAG Comedy Lab and they were like, oh, try a free class. And then I drank the Kool-Aid and now I am part of the cult forever and always. So
improv is a cult, but often a funny one.
It's at least, you know, we're not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
Just ourselves. So
So let me go through the process here because I think that you go there. It's a little bit intimidating. Because you're like, I don't like to fail. Were you doing scripted stuff for the most part prior to maybe being introduced to improv?
So, yeah, prior to being in improv, like I went to school for theater and I was doing scripted work and stuff. But when I went to start improv classes, I realized it was just doing what we did as little kids.
Yeah.
Is just playing. Pretend. Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, as adults, we're not allowed to do that. So improv sort of has to like undo all that. The good thing, and I think one of the reasons why I excelled at improv so quickly, because I'm pretty amazing at it, is that I am also a songwriter, and a lot of what I do with songwriting is just improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just sit on a keyboard or on a guitar, and I'd start strumming, and then I'd sing whatever is in my brain, and then I'd go back, and I'd be like, okay, I like the way that this sounds. I like the way that this sounds. And so I was able to like hone that sort of improvisation skill in that way.
Okay. So not necessarily on stage, but through music.
Through music, yeah. And then which is interesting because that's kind of how sketch comedy is built a lot of times, mm-hmm. through the improvisational work of, you know, improv. But yeah, I started doing classes at SAC Comedy Lab, my home away from home, for a long time. I love that place because of all that it did for me. Had a little mental health problem at one point, and I was a volunteer there because of it, because I was like, I just need something to do. So they took me in as a volunteer. Shout out to Sherry, who's no longer there. Yeah, and it helped me learn this new version of stage performance. As a scripted actor, I loved like reading a piece of work and trying to recreate what the author did. But like I said, I'm a songwriter as well. And I realized I love creating. Like creating was another big, like creating the story was a huge part of it. Creating the characters.
Right. Instead of interpreting it.
Right. Right.
As you do as an actor, yeah. As a traditional actor.
As a scripted actor. Yeah. And so like getting into the improv was like, oh, I get to do this. I get to write the script, perform the character, and in front of an audience. Also, I'm so much more comfortable in front of a live audience than I am in a group of people.
Just a few people. What about one-on-one in a radio station?
This is the most comfortable thing I've ever done,
yeah,
in my life.
I have the candles.
Well, yeah.
You're in a bath.
Also,
so.
You're very handsome and it's easy to look at you.
Yeah, yeah,
you have
yeah.
a full head of hair and that's the only
Some
thing,
of it's my own.
That's the only thing I hate you for. Yeah, so... Yeah, improv just it spoke to all the different things that I love to do as a performer and as a writer, as a creator of stories. So I got into it. I had the audacity to start teaching right after my level one class, because that's who I am. And I started teaching my own level ones. And thank you to the Melrose Center for letting me do that on a trial basis at the beginning. And then it just took off from there. I've had some wonderful teachers. Most of my training is from SAC Comedy Lab.
Yeah. So who are we talking about? Is it Bob Codges, Emily Fontano?
So Bob was not one of my teachers, but he's super sweet. He's always reaching out to me on Facebook. The sweetest man in the world.
Yes.
Dale Smith is my improv dad. He birthed me.
Okay.
He's no longer there. He's doing other stuff. Emily Fontano was my teacher like twice. Jose Rodriguez is my big brother from another mother. Love him with all my heart. And then Brett Walden was another one. And Emily, I said Emily already. Oh, Amanda was also my other.
Oh,
one.
Nice.
Yeah, Amanda Wirtz. Yeah. So I had... some pretty amazing people
that's
to learn
from.
That's
a murderer's row.
100%.
Of improvisers.
Plus, let me tell you, if you're an improviser who is listening to this, and I know you are because we all do, you better not sleep on this YouTube channel called New York Comedy. I tell my students every single semester. It is on YouTube. It is completely free. It is many, hundreds of cage match videos from the UCB olden days.
Oh, okay.
It is where I learned a lot of my long form work, because as most professions, you need to watch in order to learn. And especially in improv, you have to be in there and edit and in your own brain as you're watching. So New York Comedy, NY Comedy on YouTube, it's absolutely free. Hundreds of cage match performances from UCB back in the day.
So when you say cage match performances, can you explain what that is?
Yeah. So basically it's a bunch of long form groups coming together, and they would battle it out, quote unquote. They'd get like a 25 minute set and they'd perform, and then basically there'd be a quote unquote winner. We're always doing these like these things in improv where it's like this team against that team, this team against that team. Just
because. Well, that's for audience, right?
Yeah, that's like, for the audience. That's not partly for us. Because, yeah,
so how care. Do, okay, so short form I'm familiar with. That's what they do at SAC. It's very similar to Whose Line Is It Anyway? Yeah. They come out, they do games. Somebody gives points or something along those lines. In Correct. The case of SAC, it's a lot of audience participation in terms of who do they like better.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
Or I think they used to throw actual numbers too.
There is, yeah, they have a thing called, is that the Duel of Fools?
That is,
the Duel of Fools, they still have.
We just recently went to King of the Hill.
Yeah.
So long form as opposed to short form is you get a topic and you just take it.
Yeah,
And it might be 5 minutes, it might be 10 minutes, it might be a full show.
Yeah, it's more narrative storytelling. So like you said, at SAG Comedy Lab or Whose Line Is Anyway, there's the short form stuff and it's games and great little segments of a story, right? Whereas in long form improv, it's beginning, middle, end. We are creating the entire narrative spine.
Right.
We're telling full stories, many characters and all this stuff. And there's actually different formats to it. So you can learn lots of different formats and do different sort of like structures of how to tell the stories. It's how we get, if you're ever familiar with the term, the Herald or the La Ronde, like there's a bunch of different formats and it's just how we structure the story to tell it.
So going back to UCB and these matches, how do you then do, how do you pit two long form teams against each other in order to get a winner?
Audience participation.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like literally like.
So do they have turn? Is it they go and then we go and then they go, or is it?
It's generally from what I remember, and it's been a little while since I watched it, but it would be just like one set per group, and then we vote on who's the most.
Okay.
It's very simple.
Got it. So
it's
they're
very
not.
Very simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I believe there's like rounds of who comes back and like all this stuff. So I believe I've never been to UCB before. And this is just what I picked up because the videos that they have on there are just the sets each of the teams playing. So I could be absolutely wrong. But from what I deduced from my my internet searches, that's how it worked a lot of times.
So if you're not familiar with Upright Citizens Brigade UCB, that's where Amy Poehler came up along with there are three gentlemen that came up with her. They used to do a TV show, I think, on either MTV or Comedy Central as well. And I can't remember any of their names, but they're in any comedy show, they will make an appearance, all three of these guys.
Yeah, Amy Poehler. We can just say Amy Poehler because she is one of my top three queens, and we love her, and I will die for her. So if you ever come for her, I will come for you.
No. And this is putting her definitely on a pedestal, but she is definitely the most well-known person to come out of that school.
She's incredibly brilliant and just seems like the sweetest person in the world.
100%.
Oh, my God. I love her. Love her.
If, and, you know, what I really appreciate is, as a podcaster, is that she started a new podcast taking away most of my audience. So thank you for that, Amy Poehler.
Yeah, really, if there's anybody to lose on audience too,
really appreciate it. Let's talk a little bit about shifting from being a performer to jumping into teaching improv.
Yeah.
Because I always made this analogy when I can't remember where I was, but I was listening to somebody talk about learning how to be a professional wrestler. And the biggest thing you have to learn is how to take a fall, right? Because your body is set up in such a way that you don't want to fall down.
Right.
You will break your fall and probably hurt yourself really badly. You want to stay upright as much as possible. So you have to learn how to fall down in such a way that it sells it, it makes it look good, all of those things. And that to me was a little bit of a analogous to what you have to learn in improv, which is you have to be okay with failing because that is a big part of it. You have to be okay with going. If you think you're going to go in a direction and you're working with a partner and they taking a different direction, you have to yes and. You can't just try to pull it back to where it was that you wanted to go because you thought that was going to be funny.
Yeah.
So how much of a challenge is that to teach people? Do you break them down? Do you do like that that one French clown teacher? I can't remember his name, but he just passed away recently. Yeah. Like people would go to him, Sacha Baron Cohen, all these guys would go to him, men and women and others would go to him and learn how to be like a clown. And he was he was apparently the meanest guy at first. He would just break you down, tell you how terrible you were, and then build you back up.
Yeah, I jokingly call myself, level one of any improv series is let's have fun. Let's break down the adult in us and go back to the kid that we were.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have fun. Let's say yes to everything.
A lot of juice boxes.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yes. Welch's grape juice. If you can sponsor me, that'd be great. But yeah, it's very that, which is really fun and helps to loosen people up. I recommend every human being who breathes should take an improv one class, mm-hmm. right? It's just really good for listening and reacting and having fun. Because as adults, we're not allowed to play. We're not allowed to do anything we're not allowed to do anything, literally nothing that comes natural to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then Improv 2 comes around and I look at Improv 2 as an acting class because that's what we're doing. We're learning to be actors. And I refer to myself as Mean Marco because in level one, I'm like, hey, great job. Awesome. You did it. Because we don't really say like you're failing. We celebrate our mistakes because a mistake can be something beautiful. Somebody's like, oh, I brought the trumpet to the pool today. And it's like, cool. Now we can make better bubbles in the water. Great. Awesome. That's the fun. And that's what we need to get to. Right. But in level two, we then start to learn the structure of how stories work. Right. There's a narrative spine to a story. Stories follow a very specific layout, a very
pattern,
specific
yeah.
pattern and structure. Yeah. So when I wasn't very intimidated at teaching, like I said, I started teaching after my first level one, mostly because I have a lot of training experience between my jobs and ministry work that I've done in the past and that I'm currently doing. But like, I was a trainer at Starbucks for 8 years. I was a trainer at Borders Bookstore for 8 years too. Yeah, 8 years, both of those places. I trained new employees on all kinds of systems. I led groups. I hosted open mics. So teaching people to play was very natural to me.
Yeah.
And I started to realize, I said it before we started recording, but like this personality that I have, huge, big, crazy, boisterous personality, does not work in the normal day-to-day life generally. I have to very much tone it down and it's so difficult. But on stage and in an improv class, golden.
Mm-hmm.
I am the golden child. And finally, I'm like, oh, this is where I belong. So going into teaching, it was like, it was fun for me. It is a challenge because especially like the longer you do the art form, the more it's like, God, guys, just get it already. So you have to, there's a level of like humility that I have to have as an instructor of being like, hey, these are little hatchlings.
Yeah, it's patience. Yeah. So you got to wait for them to get to them. And sometimes, most of the time they do, I'm sure.
Yeah,
sometimes
absolutely.
They don't.
Sometimes they don't and that's fine. And I think that's what a lot of people, not everybody can be a teacher. Everybody can be a teacher. I have some incredible performer friends who are just performers. There's nothing wrong with being a performer. Listen, if you can do it, beautiful. But there's something inside of a teacher, I believe, a person who like wants to teach that just goes, I have to do this. I have to give this mm-hmm. to other people. And that's sort of where I live all the time in my brain.
So now at the Melrose Center, at the Orlando Public Library, mm-hmm. you teach, how many classes do you teach and do you have people come in and help you with those? What's the curriculum look like?
Yeah, so I am the performing arts instructor for the Melrose Center at the Orlando Public Library. That's my job title and that is my 9-to-5. I am so lucky, first of all, thank you OCLS for letting me be a drama teacher at a library system. How cool is that? But we're not here to talk about them, but we are. Because that's where I make my money.
That's where you teach your classes.
That's where I teach my classes.
Yeah.
I teach improv as an art form in general. So I teach improv. I teach scripted acting. I generally teach to the Uta Hagen method. I love Uta Hagen's work. She was a brilliant, brilliant person. If you don't know who she is, look her up. She was wonderful. And I also teach a couple of songwriting classes as well. Majority of my work is the improv series.
Mm-hmm.
I teach four levels of improv. And there are 8 to 9 classes each level. Similar to a lot of places, SAC Comedy Lab does something very similar where they'll do a bunch of levels 1 through 4. But I teach with a focus not on just short form. We do end up doing short form, but I teach so that my students could eventually one day do longer form improv. Mm-hmm. Simply because, first of all, performing arts in general to me, very important. And I think that you can use this as a scripted actor so much. So many of my friends who are improvisers are also script actors, and they're the ones booking jobs. So good for them. So I try to focus on that. And also because I love this art form. I don't want you to just do this for drunk 35-year-old men. I want you to be able to do this for every single person. So teaching it as an art form and looking at it as an art form is my focus. So I do that. And then I also produce a show called The Second Saturday Improv Show. Mm-hmm. It is a monthly short-form improv comedy show, which is every single month at the Melrose Center on the stage that I helped build, which is pretty cool. I'm pretty great. I'm amazing, actually. You know what?
You are amazing.
Why am I even here? I'm going to LA. No. I'm going to LA. Bye.
Listen, this is. let's be honest. This show is well beneath you.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate
not.
You coming
absolutely
out.
Absolutely not.
Like, I appreciate you coming out.
You are
out.
A celebrity here. Okay. You are the celebrity here. Like, oh, seriously. Boy. Every time every person knows you. So, I do a Second Saturday Improv show. It is a short form improv comedy show, similar to what Zach does. Similar to what. Whose Line or the Corner Gallery does. It's fun. It's a show for the masses. It's actually a show for everybody. It is family friendly. It's free. Mm-hmm. There, just show up every second Saturday at 4:00. What I tried to do with this show, the most important thing for me was when we first created the position that I have at the Melrose Center was, let's do a show so we can show what I'm capable of. Right. So we started doing it with just professional improvisers. So it's just my friends coming in and helping. And then recently in the past 2 years, I actually started cycling in my graduates from my program. Mm-hmm. So if you graduate from my program, I do give you the opportunity to perform the following year. And I'm learning through that. And it's really cool because now my students are coming in to a professional show. They get paid. Everybody gets paid. And that was my other stipulation for doing a show. I refuse to do shows where people don't get paid. We'll talk more about that later.
It's just for exposure. Yeah.
Absolutely not. My students get paid and they work with other professional improvisers on my stage so that they get a feel of it and they can put on their resume, hey, I've done these shows.
Yeah.
Which to me, giving people those opportunities and giving people that, like giving them the opportunity to put their name on something, that to me is fulfilling, and that's probably why I'm a teacher and I'm broke. But I enjoy it. I'm emotionally fulfilled and artistically fulfilled because of that. So, yeah, Second Saturday Show is really cool.
You have to go. Do you record them or put them out anywhere?
No, we don't. We record. We occasionally record if we do like a special one, mm-hmm. and I'll put it up on my personal YouTube account, but we don't record it and put it up.
Yeah, some of it, it's interesting because, you know, you think of Whose Line Is It, but that is specifically built for television.
Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to live improv, which is, I don't think it always translates, except to maybe comedy wonks, right? Like that are watching the UCB stuff or something along those lines.
Yeah, if you watch like Whose Line Is Anyway, right, they have multiple cameras, right, showing the audience, showing their reactions. They're like panning back and forth to the host. They're able to, like, they have big, the flashy, not the flashiest, but nice, fancy looking sets, right? Mm-hmm. And so they have set it up for television, right? It's so difficult to watch improv on film. It is so difficult. That's probably why my students never watch the NY comedy stuff. It's just really hard. It does not translate, even though there are audiences there. Right.
Yeah. But if they're not mic'd the right way, if you're not hearing the laughter, it might feel more cringy than funny. Yeah, I could see that.
And, you know, and like you said, improv, there's so much like potential for failure that cringy factor. Some people get secondhand embarrassment just mm-hmm. watching people perform improv, right? Because it's like, oh, I would never do that. That's crazy. And then we make it beautiful. And then it's like, oh, but I still feel weird about it. But you're in, if you're in front of them in a live audience, it's like, oh, they did it, right? But on film, it's so much harder.
Really,
it's so much harder. So we're still trying to figure it out. So
yeah. Let me ask you about who is coming to your classes. Is it mainly people who are performing already? Because I know that a lot of the sell for improv classes, whether it's SAC or anywhere else, is that regardless of what kind of industry you're in, regardless of what kind of work you do, this isn't necessarily a track to becoming a performer. This is a track to becoming better at presenting in front of people. This is a track to interpersonal relationships could potentially improve because you've taken an improv class or two or three.
Yeah.
Right. So are you specifically teaching to and wanting to get people who are performing anyway, or is it more open to anyone who's interested in doing stuff?
Yeah,
like that?
It's anyone who's interested, because the thing is like I believe that every person has some sort of artistic ability, mm-hmm. whatever that is, whether it's drawing, whether it's singing, whether it's improv, whatever. Right. And if until you find your thing, sometimes I think it just like bottles itself up and then explodes. So when people come to my classes, generally they're people who maybe have done theater in the past. They are people who are just looking to have fun. This is my favorite thing. I have a lot of the older people who are coming in who are like, I've always wanted to try something, and this is my first step
this
into
is the
it.
Thing. Yeah.
And I'm like, heck yes, that's so cool. So yeah, they come in generally wanting to just try something from all walks of life. I have started getting more script actors coming in because I've had a couple students who were script actors who are like going to their friends that they do films with and stuff, and they're like, you have to go try this, you have to go try this. So that's pretty cool. They're beautiful and they're wonderful and I love them. But it is it's a different art form, and that's one thing that they have to learn. I think that they're actually the most difficult to not difficult to work with, but they're the ones who I think struggle more.
Well, they have to break down what they've learned
right.
for a number of years.
Right,
yeah.
Because it's like, what do you mean I don't have a script? What do you mean? And but what's really beautiful is that once they realize that they have it in them, they're like, oh, like their eyes open up. I have like a couple of students currently who do my show who are script actors. And it's such a joy to watch them on stage compared to what it was when they were in my level one, mm-hmm. to see their growth and to see them like to become, you know, these also improv actors as well. So yeah, it's just a big, like very diverse group of people. And especially because for my classes at the Orlando Public Library, they're free if you have an Orange County library card, and $80 if you don't, which is pretty decent compared to other places. No offense to those other places, because, you know, whatever. We're very fortunate, right? So I get to have a lot more women in my classes, which I love, because I do improv because of female improvisers and female comedians. We mentioned Amy Poehler, Rachel Dratch, Tina Fey. Mm-hmm. That's my north right there. Those women, they're the reason why I was like even okay with starting improv. And then Emily Fontano happened in my life, and I suddenly realized that, oh, I have an Amy Poehler in my life. I have a Rachel Dratch. I have the Meryl Streep of improv right here,
mm-hmm.
In Orlando. And all the other women, Jamie Black and Amanda, like all those women at SAC who I just fell in love with. And then I got to meet other women in my improv classes and through improv workshops. And now I work with Marina Russell and Sarah Drew and Melissa Bailey and like all these cool women who just continue to fuel me. And I think that's really cool that there are women in my classes, so many more women in my classes than men or male presenting people. And it's fun. It's cool to watch, because I prefer to perform with them. And I also know that as a man, I have these opportunities that women don't always have. So I'm going to use that power for good.
Well, and comedy especially is a traditionally male-dominated industry. So we're seeing a lot of people, whether it's Amy LaCour, create classes. Yeah. We're going to be writing about this for the community paper.
Yeah.
Or Monday Scaries, you know, a very safe, supportive, interesting place to go to see and experience comedy, but also perform it.
Yeah.
Without, you know, thinking that you're going to bomb.
Right. It's just, especially Monday Scaries, it's like that supportive thing where you can try something new.
Yeah.
And if it bombs, you're never going to, you're not going to feel it. You're going to feel it yourself, but the audience is going to cheer you on regardless. And that's what I love about that show in particular. Amy LaCour is another person I love. She actually comes in and she does stand-up classes for the Melrose Center.
Mm-hmm.
I work with her on that. Thank you, Amy. I love you to death. But yeah, I just love seeing so many women come in and do this art form because they're the reason why I do this. They're the reason why I think of any my first. The reason why I wanted to get into performing in general was sitcoms. I love sitcoms. Candace Bergen and Murphy Brown. I loved Laurie Metcalf and Roseanne, unfortunately. I did love Roseanne back when I was a kid. I just loved Lucille Ball. Just these women, Carol Burnett, like they were always the funny ones to me, right? And to be able to give that opportunity and to celebrate women and to like let them know, hey, you're also good at this, right? Just because the society that we have come from has told us that women are not funny, that's not true. So it's really an honor and a privilege to be able to help women find their voices in improv.
Nice. Let's leave it at that for now. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk about some events that are coming up.
Cool.
We've got 6 more hours of me and Marco on the radio. I don't know if I told you that. You took the day off, right?
Yes, I did.
That's great.
I mean, I'm getting paid, right?
let's talk about that off air. Instagram, if you want to learn more, at Marco Performs Art.
Marco with a K.
Marco with a K. Thank you. And then since the classes are free, if you have a library card, they fill up fast.
They do.
So how would somebody go about getting into your level one? When do they happen? That sort of thing.
Yeah. So generally, my improv series works as a year-long program. Starts January, level one, and then goes through the end of the year, level four, and then we do a graduation show. However, this year I'm going to be trying an improv one after summer. So be on the lookout. OCLS.org is the library's website, or make sure to follow me on social media or the library on social media, and we'll announce it for sure. But a level one, like an extra level one, should be being taught after summer, unless my boss says no, which they would be ridiculous for that.
Because it is so popular and brings people into the Melrose Center. And the Melrose Center itself is amazing, an amazing facility. So if you haven't seen that, go and check that out. And then let's talk a little bit about the Jam Improv.
Oh, yeah. Right now?
Yeah, okay. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
We can talk about it later.
No, it's up to you.
Are you ready to talk about it?
This is your show.
Okay, great.
I'll do whatever you want me to do.
So was looking it up. You mentioned your podcast earlier, The Preservation Room.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yes, The Preservation Room.
You can get that wherever you get podcasts.
Everywhere you get podcasts. So The Preservation Room is is done by a group called The Jam, myself, and two of my female improv friends, Jamie Stevens and Adriana Bolanos. We are a trio who started a few years ago. We did classes at SAC together. We graduated SAC Comedy Lab classes together. And I had an idea a long time ago for a podcast. And it was actually called Should Have Been an Email. And it became our YouTube series that we had 2 seasons of, where my idea came from during the pandemic. Everybody was trying to do improv on Zoom, and it was so cringy. And
it was tough.
We were trying, though. We were trying.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, "What if we make what if we make Zoom part of the bit, right?" And then, but it was supposed to be just a podcast, so just an audio podcast. And then, Adri, my friend, in true Adri form, says, "But what if we film it?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, And we actually, so Zoom is a part of it. So we're not pretending to be in the same room together. It's always a remote conversation, you know, a business, and we come together, somebody leads the thing and leads the meeting, and then it turns into insanity. It was an opportunity to do costumes and invite guests and stuff. So it was a lot of fun. So should have been an email was the first iteration. And then I was like, guys, I just want to sit around and yap. I just want to sit around and talk. So we took a break from that, and the Preservation Room was born. It's long form. It's how it's been. It's been long form improv. We always have a guest with us to come in. So we have one of our other improv friends come in. We usually do a little trivia section on a topic that they love.
Nice.
And then we tell a story, and we don't have any sort of structure. We just go for it, which is insane. But because we're yappers, we're pretty good at it. And we're also improvisers, and we've done a lot of good with it. It's been so much fun to do that, because we've also like done photo shoots for it, and we've tried to market it as well as possible and make it fun and silly and artistically fulfilling. We recently did our first Yap session. It hasn't come out yet, but with Amy LaCours and Rue Nafasit, we had a great, great Yap session with them. So that's going to be coming out soon. But yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of just us telling stories based on the trivia, based on the conversations we have with our guests. And we record it at my house.
And so this is audio only. This is not
audio
video.
Only. Yeah. I mean, you can find it on YouTube, but you'll only hear the audio. Yeah. Because I am tired of editing videos.
It's tough. It's time consuming. So that's at The Jam Improv on YouTube, or again, wherever you get podcasts, wherever. The Preservation Room. I also want to shame you a little bit, because I did see the TikTok and there's nothing on there. So I am going to go ahead and just put the TikTok out there at The Jam Improv. And so now you have to start posting TikToks.
Do you hear that, Jamie? Jamie's our social media person. Yeah, I created the account and I said, we're going to need this at some point.
So, nice.
So it just sits there quietly.
I see your role in the
100%.
Yeah. The triumvirate of your own. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Jamie. That's Jamie's job. So Jamie, get on it. We love you.
Good job, Jamie. Let's play a song. We've got Alanis Morissette with Hands Clean.
Yes.
Which is just a good idea. Like, wash your hands. I don't like the spray or the gooey hand sanitizer.
Ugh.
I like the wash clothy one.
Okay.
Like,
yeah. I'm very much about that.
Okay, good.
I appreciate that.
So, Hands Clean.
Thank you, Alanis.
By Alanis Morissette on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. She's from Canada. So am I.
Hey-o.
Yeah, we'll hear that right now.